Let's talk to Bruce Williamson, who is from Rail Future. They're an independent organisation which campaigns for better rail services. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, Simon.
Nice to have you here. When did you last use a train?
For me, it was last Tuesday. I went to Cardiff for the day. It was raining heavily, but it was fine. It was on time.
Well, and that's the thing. It was on time, because that, unfortunately, is perhaps sometimes when our thoughts about trains and railways fall down a little bit, is when they don't run on time, or when they do run on time but there are no seats. And there are lots of issues, I guess, with rail travel that get highlighted when probably the majority of journeys probably happen in the right order.
Well, indeed, yes. I mean, obviously, nothing's perfect in this world. And, you know, sometimes trains are late. And, you know, we, in terms of reliability, we're sort of about the European average. So, sometimes we look at the continent with rose-tinted spectacles and think everything's cheap and wonderful and reliable. And it's not always quite the case. But, there is a case for improving the railways. And if I'm to get on my soapbox as a rail campaigner, what it's all about really is long-term investment. And what the railways have suffered from is kind of, you know, feast and famine and stop, start, on, off. Politicians can't make their mind up. And the consequence of that is that we don't get the railway we deserve.
Well, take me back to pre the beaching cuts then, and
yes.
Obviously there were way fewer cars on the roads, they were less affordable, people didn't have perhaps, certainly not two car families, but possibly didn't even have one car, so you would have had rail and bus and they would have been the ways you got about.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely depended on the railways. You know, it was the way that, I mean, I'm looking out my window, there's an HGV, but that, you know, that wasn't around in the, you know, the 1800 and whatevers. Everything had to be transported by rail, and then the last few miles by a horse and cart or a steam wagon. And obviously in the days of steam engines, you know, were sort of, not very efficient and quite polluting, but no one kind of cared in those days. And obviously today we have rail as a much more environmentally friendly form of travel, but sadly some of the lines that we would love to travel on in a green way are being closed, thanks to the evil Dr. Beeching.
And you see so many buildings, particularly in a county like ours, I've worked in one, that used to be railway stations, and you kind of get a handle on how many places were connected, how it would have been way easier to go from there to there, because there was a station only there.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at a map of what the rail network used to look like, it looks like what a map of A-Roads looks like now. Yeah, so pretty much every town and many villages too were connected. And so you didn't need a car. You'd walk down to your railway station, pick up the train, maybe change at a larger station and take the main line to wherever you wanted to go. And it was viable to travel in those days on train from almost anywhere to anywhere.
And was it affordable then? Because we kind of think now that railway tickets are perhaps more expensive than other ways of travelling.
I think the answer is yes. I don't have the hard evidence to back that up, but you know, rail fares in this country are outrageously high, and they, you know, it's a deliberate government policy. They've whacked up the price of rail travel way more than inflation. So it seems like the government or successive governments have tried to price people off the railways, which is absolutely the wrong way to go. And you'll notice in contrast that fuel duty for motorists has been frozen for like, I think, 12 years and then cut by 5p. So it's like they're giving these financial bribes to people to use the car rather than to use the train, which is absolutely the wrong way to go.
Well, we don't have anyone from either the current government or previous governments here to say their piece. But I guess that what they would argue is that the rail network that we've got, because it is ageing, there are costs that go with it. Also, we have this slightly odd thing in this country. I don't know if it's the same in other countries, where the tracks are owned by someone, the actual trains are owned by someone, and then the lines are run by franchises. So it's a, quite a fragmented system we've got.
Yes, it is fragmented, and you know, I think that fragmentation inevitably has added costs to the British railway network. You know, we need to look at how they do it on the continent and are able to do it so cheap, because, you know, clearly we do have an expensive railway, not just from the passengers' point of view, but to actually run it. The internal costs of running the railway industry are relatively high as well, so that needs to be addressed. But maybe with the sort of the gradual renationalisation of the railway, there might be some sort of economies of scale to be had, and hopefully the cost of running the railway will go down. We'll see.
It's never going to go back to what it was pre-beaching, obviously, in a county like ours. But what would you like to see as being the future of the railways here in?
Well, I think there are. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, everyone fantasizes about their little branch line going through their little village and having the sort of friendly station master, just like, you know, the Titfield Thunderbolt and stuff like that. But there are many realistic, viable things that could be done. So you mentioned Wellington Station, Langport has a strong case. We're hoping that at long last we'll get the train to Portishead. That one's kind of on a knife edge and so tantalizingly close. And electrification, we'd love to see more electrification, because electrification brings sort of, you know, faster, cheaper, more reliable trains. And then, you know, looking across the sort of central belt of Somerset, there's a whole load of towns in a row. Bridgewater, Street, Glastonbury, Wells, Shepton, Frome. And I think that, you know, that there might be a strong case for linking all those up with reopened railways. And that might be viable. But obviously, that if that were the case, that would be a long time in the future, sadly. It's very, very, very frustrating for us as rail campaigners that any getting anything done seems to take forever. And it seems to take absolutely millions and millions of pounds as well.
And therein lies the problem. Well, look, thank you so much for your time today. Really interesting to speak to you. That's Bruce Williamson. Bruce is he's from Rail Future, an independent organisation which campaigns for better rail services. 0800 678 1566.